Hey, folks, you're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with my co-host, Chief Todd LeDuc, episode 125.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
All right, welcome again, everyone. I am Dr. Donnie and my co-host, Chief Todd LeDuc, also Chief Strategy Officer of LifeScan Wellness Center. And Todd, let me kick it over to you and introduce our guest today.
Great, Donnie. Good to be back. And we've got another great guest on tap for our listeners today. And it's the trifecta. We've got the Florida crew today. Most of you may know or may not from our previous episode, Donnie's just relocated, seeing the light. So he's come to the Sunshine State en masse with many around the country that have followed. And we're thrilled to have him just up the road a little bit from where Steve and I are down in South Florida. So let me do a quick intro, and then I'm going to ask our guest, who's a long friend and colleague, who actually has his own podcast. So I'm sure this is a little bit different for him today. We work together. LifeScan actually has been a big supporter and sponsor of our guest's podcast. I've had the honor of being on a number of times, and always great listeners and great work that he does. But today we've got Steve Green. Steve's had a long career and in the fire service dating back many years, and is now helping with his giving back to the service and what he does. And that's the Five Alarm podcast. He's also got a charity element of that. And I'm going to let him tell us a lot more about ourselves. We actually have some common roots in up in the New England, Boston, Northeast. So, but without stealing Steve's thunder, Steve, welcome on to the podcast today. We're thrilled to have you, and thanks for taking time to join us.
Thank you. An honor and pleasure to be with you today. The podcast started back in 2016. I was in the fire service from 77 to 85 when an injury took me out permanently. But I was doing errands in the chief's truck or whatever I could just to stay connected to it. After 4 years in Greensboro, we moved up to Syracuse, New York. And if you think Boston is cold, spend a good amount of time in that area of the up northern New York, northern Maine. It's different
down here in Florida, right? Was that the climatic
right
freeze, the deep freeze, I call it?
Yeah, well, I don't know whether it comes or not. It may not come in our lifetime, but I think if we don't take care of ourselves, nobody's going to take care of it. That's the key. So social media started, Twitter. I didn't know what Twitter was, and I happened to find it by accident. And one person, I think, I don't know, it wasn't you, Todd. There was another firefighter on the scene, on that tweet in that thread. And he kind of got me interested when the other people left. We just were hanging around talking on Twitter, and I liked him a lot. And he says, well, why don't you be a firefighter? Because I can't be a firefighter. I'm medically disqualified. So he goes, there's something you should be able to do. So calm down a few months, and one of them said, hey, I got an idea. Do a podcast. I said, that's great. What's a podcast? They were just starting in 2016, late 2015. And I said, is this because I just sent a report to the government about an UAP that my wife and I saw together, but in two different positions. And they said, no. When was that? So I played along with it. And then there was a firefighter injury just shortly, I think it was around the 1st of October, 2nd of October. And I said to my wife, we got to help this guy. He's got a wife, four kids. His oldest is only seven. So I got to do something. So I started mentioning that on social media. And some of our mutual friends, Andy Starnes and Chief Rubin, and a bunch of these people start telling me, you should start a podcast. I said, well, what do I need? I got a telephone. No. You want to send it through your computer. So I started. It was September of 2016. And 2 weeks ago, we finished our sixth season on the Era 5 Alum Task Force. And as you mentioned, we do have a nonprofit. In the middle of the pandemic, we decided they're going to be, there was no doubt in our minds, firefighters and brothers and sisters from our branches that aren't going to handle this well, we'll get sick, and we have to help them. So the gentleman in charge of the effort spoke to the intermediary and said, just let him know we need his time. We don't need him to sit in front of a computer for 5 hours. We want him to just practice and study what he sees in each article. And I started doing that in late 2016, and it's been a heck of a ride ever since.
Well, it certainly has. You've had a tremendous impact in many very wise folks on the podcast to share their wisdom. And it's making that impact for sure. You know, one of the things I wanted to touch on as well is, the impact of, you mentioned you had a career ending or a service ending episode. And, firefighters, whether that's a cancer diagnosis or a severe cardiac issue or, injuries, I think we have reported through NFPA about 80,000 firefighter injuries a year. Can you talk a little bit about what impact that had on you? And I'm sure it must have had a tremendous impact on you, and I'm sure your family. And maybe just talk a little bit about that. And, I think the work that we do at LifeScan focused on, early detection. And, that's something that, that drives us. If we can find some of these things early, they don't become disabling. But just talk a little bit about that, because I know, the fire service is a passion for folks that enter it. And it has to have an impact when you can't serve. And you've kind of turned that tragedy into good, serving in the role that you do now.
Thank you, Todd. Basically, when I got injured in August of 1978, at a Great Florida Fire, the annual fire program for the state of Florida, and had a good time up there, but I fell through the floor of a house that was a training aid with my left leg all the way up to the groin. And my right leg was twisted behind me. And I'm yelling in my mask, I'm hurt. And the captain, who's the only one left in the room except me, said, well, come on, suck it up. You can do it. Yeah. I said, no, I'm hurt. I can't get up. He goes, no, just take a breath. You'll be fine. You're not hurt. And so, of course, I listened to him and tried to do that. And it was like taking a hot poker through the leg, through my knee. And from that point, they rushed me to the local hospital. And I was there about 8 hours. They wrapped my leg, put an immobilizer on, and that was it. And of course, now we had driven down in my car. So we had to drive from Massachusetts, from Cape Cod back to Framingham area. And I got home and I start to cry. My wife said, what's the matter? You missed us? I said, yeah, but I'm not going to be able to do this anymore. She goes, well, why not? You had the surgery. I said, it's not going to work. It's just not going to happen. And I went down, spoke to my chief at the time, and I told him that. He says, can you walk? I said, yeah. He says, can you write? I said, yeah. You better have your butt in a car when the tones go off. And I want you to shoot the video and then write the caption and then write the story of the fire. That's what I started doing. And I did one every month for them, except summer break. I did one in June, break on July and August, then back September through December. And that's what we've done ever since, basically.
Yeah, that's got to be a, for any of our listeners inherently firefighting is a dangerous occupation. You know, we know that when we sign up and when we get in, just like our brothers and sisters, law enforcement, and certainly, you know, those that serve in our military, we assume certain inherent risks. You know, but the focus, I think, from probably when we both started our careers, is we've got much more of a safety-minded focus, whether that's on cancer or behavioral health or even firegram tactics and survival, you know. For our listeners out there, I mean, Steve's a great just example of taking a tragic situation and turning that into good. And I have to say, I think, you know, things happen for a reason. And sometimes you're destined to have a larger impact in being able to do that through the work that you're doing subsequent up until today really is showing that. And I have to ask you, Steve, and for our listeners in the audience, you know, Donnie reminds me all the time, we've got listeners from all over the country. And I'm sure like you, Steve, and your podcast, global audience. But we also have a live video feed as we record these. And it looks like you're at a rock star band or party. Or is this inside of you? I don't know.
This is just a little small section of my collection. No, it's a background slide.
Very nice. For our audience, Steve looks like he's headlining one of our major concerts down here. I love it. It looks great.
Thank you,
Steve. Why don't you talk a little bit about, because I know it's important and it helps raise, if I'm correct and my recollection serves me, you've been doing some I don't even know what to call them, but virtual training. Mm-hmm.
Webinars. We call them webinars.
Yeah. Webinars. And I know you've had, you know, some on. I think PFAS was a popular one that a lot of good discussion surrounding that. Ed Kelly, who I just had the honor of playing a little golf with him and Frank Lima down here at the Biltmore. But you've got another one coming up as well. And why don't you talk a little bit about that and tell our audience if they're interested how to access those and what the purpose of those are and what you're trying to achieve with those.
Sure. Thank you very much. Basically, we are a IRS registered nonprofit organization. We inaugurated the corporation in October of 2020 because I had been seeing the number of first responders who were bandaged up, you know, masked up at a much higher level than the rest of us. And that being the case, you can't hold a class for every citizen. So we decided that we try to teach through the podcast, because one of the reasons why we found even some of our colleagues didn't know what to do. And I think at that time, you know, it was 7 and a half months once the first big break started across the country, we felt that there has to be a message that there is light at the end of the tunnel. It might be a long tunnel, but there's a light at the end of that tunnel. And we've seen it a little bit shining. It's not burning bright like on the beach, but a little bit shining. And so along with my good friend, Battalion Chief Andy Starnes, and co-editor of the Firehouse Tribune, that's Nick, and we decided that whatever we do, we're going to make it directly for the family, because or survive it, you know, other survivors. We believe this: if a parent dies in the military, any of our armed forces, and even from the police academy, and sometimes I've seen three now from EMS, and they, from the moment and you read the article and you start, these colleagues marched into the room in the the examiner's office, and would tell a couple of his jokes, would spend some time with him, and it was just, we felt it was the right thing to do. So that even pumped us again, and we said, well, why don't we start thinking of doing webinars? Because I have this friend, he's executive assistant chief here in Broward County, and he has these meetings every once in a while online. I said, that's what you should do. They said, you should do podcasts. I said, great. What's a podcast? So they explained to me, because I was doing radio back in high school and through my my 3 years of radio in the United States at my college, and I had 1 year abroad. But that's what I thought was important, is that we have brothers and sisters, and I had already made donations to several of the online certificate programs. But the problem is, whatever money you want to donate to a family or the person, it, that bank, money bank, is going to take a slice off the top. And we decided it'd be much easier if we get a contact in the community and get that check directly to the chief of department, to the PIO, and we send a note to them and the people we're trying to help at the same time. So they'll know where to go, like their local fire station, to get a little help.
Yeah, it's really, great couple missions, right? Combining together, helping really shine light on topics of national importance. And then at the same time, helping when tragedy unfortunately does strike, being there, being the tip of the spear. I love, and I think our listeners, really, I'm sure, embrace when you, whatever the charity is, when you give, a dollar to charity, you expect that money is going to the cause or the need. And you're so right. Oftentimes it gets lost in translation with overhead and administrative and allocation. So having those missions where you're educating, but you're also helping those that need it the most is great. I think Donnie.
Todd, kick it back right over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Donnie. Certainly, when you have, like you said, certain things are going to happen that really change us. And it's wonderful to see. Not everyone, when that change occurs, ends up in a good spot. And it's nice to see. The good that's come of Steve's effort and work. Steve, I don't know if I missed it. I may have multitasking as we're interviewing. But for our audience, if they want to access, particularly, you've got one webinar training coming up,
right?
That I think you have to be registered for. Why don't you share with our audience what the easiest way for them to access these events that you do, in particular the one that's coming up? And I know I'm going to put a shameless plug in for LifeScan Wellness Centers. I know we actually offer a full NFPA 1582-83 physical with our imaging. I think you've got Tanya is also partnering to give some decontamination. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? And more importantly, our audience that's out there that's hearing about this, how do they partake in this and how do they participate?
Well, they can learn a little bit more by either reading the social media posts or they can go to our website.
Fantastic. And for our listeners too, I always like to just Google or go on a search engine, look up Five Alarm. Steve's got his whole story and task force there as well. So, but Donnie will have that in. And like I said, I've had the opportunity to sit in and listen on a couple of them, and fantastic education. It's great training. And you heard even better, it goes to a great cause.
Right. The we have two accounts we've set up with our bank. One is the operating account, which pays for day-to-day ops. However, the second one is our foundation account. And the money raised through ticket sales, the net proceeds, goes to the Five Alarm Task Force Corp financial account. And from there, we dish out contributions to parents or brothers or sisters, whoever is that main remaining family. We'll send a check for them for a better amount than they would get even using the traditional online givers.
Great, great stuff. So take the opportunity. Steve, do you have the date on one of your next?
Yeah. So the next podcast webinar will be on Tuesday.
Okay. Hey, Steve, that was the 16th of which month?
August.
16th of August. Okay. Right. And was that 6:30 PM? Did you say?
6:30 Eastern time, right.
Eastern. Okay. All right. Excellent.
Steve, let me ask you, you said 1978 for some of our listeners out there that's quite a journey. That's spanned many, many years, and there's been obviously evolution in the fire service, and folks like yourself and myself have retired, moved into different capacities. But just looking at it, what have you seen as kind of the biggest changes that have occurred in the fire service since when you first started?
Definitely that every working member carries a radio. That never happened. In 77 to 85, we never had that. Our whole decon process, the concept of TCON, PFAS, and how what we're doing to get it out of our firefighters' bunker gear, off their skin, and let them take a shower in peace one day. Because right now, many, even if it's older gear, when Dr. Peasley did his studies, he determined that he had gear dating back to 77, which is when I started, October 77, that was contaminated with PFAS, and it was all over the gear. And so somebody in the audience said, well, does that mean we shouldn't wear gear at all? Well, he said, yeah, get a second pair, and I want you until they're cleaned professionally and uniformly to the standards that have been set. And that's a big deal, because how many communities in this country, from villages to townships to village, whatever, how many of them have the funds to replace all the gear with new gear in just a short amount of time? And so we're trying to, we post from AWG's site, from the Diane and the Carter family, all the work that they've done for us and helped us too. And there have been people on Twitter, on social media, and then they come back on our website and leave a comment. And that means a great deal, because once you get it into the public stream, where it's not an officer of the fire department or a fire commissioner for that community, once you get the firefighters talking about what they're facing, that's when they'll talk. Because most of the time, we don't like to talk on TV. Unless you have to, right, Todd?
Unless you're in PIO world and you can't get enough of it. But you know, those are two great observations. I think our audience knows, our listeners I'm sure know, and if you haven't taken the time, one invaluable resource is the we always want to prevent tragedy, but if tragedy does occur, we've got our NIOSH reports out there that do after action recommendations from any line of duty deaths. And Steve, you know, you point out radios, and I mean, you can't pick up a NIOSH after action fatality report where communications fire-ground communications is not front and center. It's just part of the world we live in, right? It's chaotic. It's rapidly changing. Its conditions are always in flux. And making sure that we have that that information at the right time to the right people and coordinated is critical. So certainly the enhancements in communications, but I tend to agree with you. If you look back, whether cancer has always been there and we just didn't have a spotlight on it. We know 40% of Americans at some point are going to have cancer in their lifetime. In the fire service, even more than that. So it is rewarding that we're focusing more on prevention of cancer. You know, you mentioned second sets of care. We're trying to figure out how to work through the PFAS issue, decontamination. Obviously, I always put a big plug in that if we can't prevent 100%, early detection has to be part of that with annual physicals. And you mentioned a resource, which I just want to reiterate, because it'll be opening back up probably in a couple months here, is the FEMA Assistance to Firefighter Grants. Typically, $400 million of your tax dollars that are returned to your communities to help fund some of these priorities for the fire service. So you're right, other communities have struggled with. I mean, even metro departments, we've had, Chief Pena from City of Houston Fire on, and he made a great point, even though it seems like they're the big Mac Daddy, fourth largest in the country, that for him to implement a project takes exponentially more money because he's got 100 and some odd stations and 4,000 firefighters. So those grants are open to large and small departments. Take a peek at them on the FEMA website because they are a great resource. And unfortunately, I don't think as many departments take advantages of them as FEMA would like. I want to be mindful of your time, Steve, and kind of wrap up. I know we'll have look to have you back on, but kind of a follow-up question to the last one, but a little bit more personal in nature. Given your life experience, your service in the fire service, your vantage point from where it is today, for our younger folks that are listening, that are early in their career or just starting out their service, what if you had to give them a little pearl of wisdom, whether that be personal, professional, or a mixture of both, what would that be?
I think part of it has to be follow your heart. When I had planned to be a rabbi, that didn't happen to work out. I was really upset because I hadn't planned on any fallback. I did not have a plan B. And I was home, college graduate. I'm sitting on my bed sobbing because I didn't know what else I could do. And as it turned out, I got a position in Greensboro, North Carolina, at right on the edge of the county line. We were in the county, and the other side of the line was the city district of Columbia, of Greensboro. Since that time, they've annexed most of the what was our fire district back in the day. But I think probably most important you have to look for is who's talking to you and what are their credentials. You have to, if you're going to talk with somebody to learn something, then they damn well better be able to teach it. But if you go and say, well, do you know this stuff? No, I thought you did. Well, no, I thought you did. Don't you know it? And that's what it turns into, the Three Stooges. So what I wanted with the podcast, while I let my guests, I'd say 98% of the time, choose the topics they want to discuss, I also choose a topic sometimes that hasn't been discussed openly and widely. I think I got 12 or 13 podcasts that I subscribe to from my phone. And it's always good for the dog when I walk her with a long one. But the thing is that if you lack the self-confidence, well, let's make it easy. I was 5 years old. My uncle from down the street and my cousin, he takes us to Norham Beach. Paragon Park. And I was on the rides, not the Ferris wheel, but the horses up and down and all the little stuff. And then they put me on a boat. And the boat at Disney starts off slow, comes up to about a 95 degree vertical, and then tipsy-turvy rolls around the corkscrew thing. I don't think I even had a chance to hold my puke in long enough before we got to the station again. And I yelled at my older brother. I yelled at my uncle. What the hell do you think you're doing? Everybody, you guys all know that I'm afraid of heights. I was. But I took that step. And I found that each year that I did a little bit more in the fire service, I got better at things I could do in the fire service.
There's a couple threaded lessons in there for our audience, for sure. I love them. Follow your heart. One of them, you know, be careful with your profits and who those are. I think our mutual friend Bobby Halton just wrote an editorial on that, and you know, it's in that's an important piece: who your mentors are, who you're soaking up that knowledge from, right. And then your last point that you just made it reflected in my mind, Gordon Graham. In his wisdom, to make every day a training day. You know, as you said, your growth every year that you were in the service. And, you know, I think fortunately we don't see as much fire, maybe as we did back in the day. But the complexities of what we deal with as a service, I think have really evolved as well. And, the importance of being ready, for whatever the hell is going to be thrown at us. Because we never know what that next bell is going to bring us. So great wisdom. You've had a long and great career, and you continue to do good work. I want to thank you, Steve, for continuing to give back to the service, help educate our generation coming up, and for the charity work that you do as well. It's inspiring. So thank you for what you do, Donnie. Great again, another episode in the books, and I know Steve will look to have you back on and continue this dialogue. So thanks to you and your family, and enjoy the rest of your summer and stay safe.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Todd. And, you know, I just want to add a closing note here, Todd. You talk about Gordon Graham, every day is a training day. You think about it. A lot of times, though, we only focus on that training in the fire service. But if we broaden that perspective, and I'll have to send Gordon a little note on this one. Every day is a training day to become a better father, mother, husband, wife, son, daughter, brother, sister, human being, right? Every day is a training day to get one step healthier than what we were before. And I think it'd be a great way we start broadening that out. Where, you know, success is so much more than just our career. It's right. Truly.
Yeah, it's a great point. Great way to wrap up the show. And I think, you know, that really, Donnie speaks to kind of how you and I came together, right? In the, you know, looking at this holistically, you know, with that, you know, we talk about doing a 360, you know, view of whatever the scene is, the incident that we're on, if that's a structure fire or an entrapment, is having that complete, you know, 360 look at what you're dealing with, and are you addressing every piece of it? So that's a great point. And, you know, I think that continues to be another evolving area of change in the fire service. It really, you know, I know when Steve started and when I started, there was no such thing as work-life balance, and it was a foreign concept. So we continue to plug away at that, and hopefully, if you reach out to Gordon, I'm sure he'd love to come on, be a guest, and talk about you know, that holistic approach. Great stuff. I love it.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
guys. Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.